If you have your Bibles this evening, turn to 1 Kings chapter number 22. I'm glad I'm redeemed. I like that word. 1 Kings chapter 22, and you bear with me, I have a lengthy passage to read, but 22 verse number 1 says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until I have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, Hear now therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Abraham? And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said to his on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak to thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and carry him back into Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had ruled over his chariot, saying, Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, Surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound as the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host of the going down the sun, saying, every man to his city, every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king there. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did and the ivory house which he made and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. Now, here's what's happened. The king of Ahab's wanting to go up and fight against Syria. And if you go back, the king of Syria's name was Ben-Hadad. You can go back a couple chapters. And what had happened, God had delivered the king of Syria into Ahab's hand before. Just a few chapters earlier, he had delivered him into his hand. But Ahab didn't kill him. In fact, Ben-Hadad had promised that he would return all the cities that him and his father had taken if he would just spare his life. And so Ahab does. He makes that covenant with him, and he lets him go free. And so he's promised to give back cities. It's been 3 years. And he's not done anything. And so Ahab decides that he's going to go up and take back the city of Ramoth-Gilead. And really, in Ben-Hadad, you can almost see a picture of sin. I mean, here's really what's happened. Because he failed to deal with him 3 years ago, what's he having to do now? He's having to deal with him now. Hey, when he had him defeated and weak, he let him go. And now, in 3 years, he's built his army back up. He's strong. Did you know that's how sin does in our lives? Instead of getting rid of it, here's what we do. We try to control sin. We know there's things in our life we shouldn't have, things that are wrong, and we're going to control it instead of get rid of it. And we think we have control of it, but you know what happens? Over the course of time, it's back. And really, we don't control it. It controls us. And what happens? Ahab's fighting the same battle he fought 3 years ago. I know people that have addictions and different things because they wouldn't deal with the sin in their life. You know what? Day after day, year after year, you know what they're doing? They're fighting the same battles that they've always fought. And they'll continue to fight them. You know why? Because they won't deal with sin. They won't get it out of their life. You look at the children of Israel. They refused to cross over into the land of Canaan. And because they did, you know what happened? They wandered in the wilderness, and then their children had to go into the land of Canaan and fight those battles. Because they refused to fight that battle, you know what? Their children are having to fight it. There's a lot of God's people, they know they've got problems in their life. They're not going to deal with it. You know what's going to happen? It's going to go down to their children, and their children are going to be fighting the same battles that mom and daddy should have fought. Now, Ahab wants to go up and fight, and so he asked Jehoshaphat, I want you to go fight with me. Jehoshaphat is the king of Israel. And he says, I will. I'm going to go fight. But before they go off to battle, here's a request he makes. He said, inquire, I pray, verse number 5, and Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. He says, hey, why don't we ask God? Before we just run off and do this, let's ask God to see what God thinks about it. And so Ahab does. And let me say this. When it comes to decisions in your life, the best thing you can do is ask God about it. Seek direction from God. I could give you example after example how seeking God has saved me a lot of heartache. And I could give you example after example. Many times decisions I make because I didn't seek God. Because I didn't ask God what I should do. You know what? I've got myself in a mess many times. Young people, let me tell you something. The best thing you can do, any decision you make, who you marry, your job, you may think it's just a small decision. Every decision you make, you better ask God and get direction from Him. Here's a wise man, Jehoshaphat. He says, hey, we're fixing to go off into battle. Lives are at stake. Let's ask God. Hey, let's ask God to see what God thinks. Proverbs 3:6 says this, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know why we don't have direction from God? We don't acknowledge Him. We don't ask. You want direction from God, you have to pray and you have to ask. It's that simple. Here's a wise man. He said, hey, let's ask. Let's see what God thinks. And so, Ahab calls for his men. And really, here's what's going to happen and what we're going to look at. Ahab's going to hear two different messages. They're going to hear two different messages. They're asking what God thinks. They're going to hear two different messages. One message is going to appeal to his fleshly desires. One message is going to be what he wants to hear. The other message is not what he wants to hear. It's going to go against what his flesh wants to do. And so that's what I want to look at now. I want to look at this counsel that was given to Ahab and how he dealt with it. We all know that we need godly advice. But you know what's more important many times is how we deal with it. And so here's what's going on. Ahab's first, he's going to call his prophets. Notice verse number 6. It says, and the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it in the hand of the king. Here's 400 men. He says, hey, you want to hear what God says? Let me get my men. Hey, let me bring my prophets in. He brings 400 men. And they all say the same thing. They're all saying, hey, go up and prosper. God's going to give you the city. In fact, we read on down in verse 11 where Zedekiah even made horns of iron. Started acting like he was used. With these, you're going to push the Syrians until you consume them. I mean, I'd say this was probably a pretty big show that was taking place. Ahab did what a lot of people do when they're faced with a decision. You know who he asked? Who he got counsel from? The people that say exactly what he wanted to hear. Hey, they were his prophets. They're going to tell him exactly what he wants to hear. Are we not guilty of doing the same thing sometimes? Hey, we want to lay out a church and need to miss church for something. We're going to ask the pastor what he thinks. Or are we going to ask somebody that's unfaithful and say, do you think it'd be all right if I did this? We're going to ask our nature. We want to ask the person that's going to say what we want to hear. Any of y'all that have children, if my boys have a question, something they want to do, here's what they can ask mom or they can ask me. You know who they ask? The one that they think is going to give them permission to do what they want to do. It's that simple. And we're so guilty of the same thing. We want people to tell us what we want to hear. That's the counsel. That's what we want, is somebody just tell us what we want to hear. Ahab made up his mind before he ever asked. Now think about this. It was Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, that said, hey, let's hear what God has to say. Ahab wasn't interested in that. He had already decided, hey, I'm going to fight. I just want you to join me. In his mind, he's going to war before he calls the first prophet. How many times have you seen somebody make up their mind what they're going to do before they ever even ask God about it? You know what we do a lot of times? We don't seek counsel. We seek approval. We know what we want. We know what we want to hear. And really, I don't want your advice. I want you to pat me on the back and tell me exactly what I want to hear. That's where he's at. I've had people talk to me about certain situations, and Steve, as soon as I say something that they don't want to hear, they'll change the subject. That's our fleshly nature, is we want to hear what we want to hear. And if somebody's not taking us down that road, you know what? We'll just change the subject and we'll move on to the next person. We seek approval. That's what he's doing. And really, if you get right down to it, he's asking out of obligation. He's not really. He's asking for Jehoshaphat's sake. And so here's his prophets. His prophets come, they tell him exactly what he wants to hear. But that ain't good enough for Jehoshaphat. Notice what he says. Verse number 7. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? Hey, that's all good, but Ahab, is there a man of God here? He knew what they were. They were false prophets. He knows that. He said, hey, is there a true man of God that we can ask about this? Think about the numbers on this. A true man of God, there's 401 people there. There's 400 false prophets and one true man of God. He's outnumbered 400-1. You know, that's probably pretty close to what it is today. And I mean, you just think about it. Notice what he says. And the verse 8, and the king of Israel said, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla. He says, hey, I know these 400 prophets. You know what? When you're asking for a prophet of God, a true man of God, I know one man. I know one. He didn't say, hey, I know some people we can call. One man. And then he goes on and lets him know how he feels about him. Says that yet, verse 8, there's yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imla, by whom we inquire the Lord, but I hate him. Hey, there's one true man of God, and we can call him, but I want you to know something. I hate him. Why do you hate him? I mean, here's a man of God, a true man of God, and here's what he says. I hate him. Why? Notice what the text says. For he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Here's what he's saying. Man, he don't tell me what I want to hear. Hey, I hate him. He don't tell me what I want. He's always saying something bad, making me feel bad. You look at verse 14. It says that Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith of me, that will I speak. I mean, here's Micaiah's only crime. I'm just going to tell you what God says. I mean, that's what he does. Whatever God tells me to say, that's what I'm going to tell you. How did he get responded to? I hate him. Is that not how it works? We live in a day when you know why everybody gets mad at the man of God, why they get mad at the preacher? Because he don't tell them what they want to hear. That's why. Because he says, he speaks evil. He's telling them that what they're doing is wrong, that you don't need to do this. They hate him. They get mad at him. You're never going to win a popularity contest by telling people what they don't want to hear. I mean, that's just the fact. That's why the man of God is hated, why nobody likes him. Because if he's a true man of God, he tells them what God says, and they don't want to hear it. Long as you speak in general terms, and y'all know this, but you can speak in general terms about sin, it don't upset nobody. Preacher, yeah, you get specific. You start getting specific about sins, and it starts hitting close to home, and all of a sudden now we got a problem. We're mad at the man of God. And we have no reason to be. Hey, I want somebody to tell me the truth. Hey, if I'm wrong, there's something in my life that's wrong, tell me about it. It amazes me. The problem between God and man is sin. But yet we live in a day when we don't want nobody to preach on sin. Listen, if we're going to be right with God, we have to deal with sin in our life. I don't want to go through life being deceived about him. I see people all the time and they think that they're... If I could just say, they're deceived spiritually about where they're at. They got everything in the world in their life. They think that they're doing good, and the fact of it is, they're deceived about who they are. And you know why? Because they're sitting under a man of God that won't preach on sin. That doesn't have the courage to stand and tell them what thus saith the Word of God. Micaiah comes down. Ahab says, I hate him. He brings him down. And Micaiah mocks him at first. He says, verse 5 says, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of God. He said, I mean, he just says what the others do. That's what the king wanted to hear. But notice what Ahab said. This right there lets you know that Ahab knows they're just telling him what he wants to hear. Verse 16, the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He's telling him, man, don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what God said. And so Micaiah does. He says, Ahab, you're going to die. You go to battle, you're going to be killed. And those false prophets, all those prophets that are saying go up and prosper, they're lying to you. God sent out an evil spirit, and they're lying to you, Ahab. A true man of God. Let me tell you something. A true man of God, not only does he tell you the truth, you know, he rebukes error. Hey, he didn't have a problem him. All those, there's 400 men right over there telling you exactly what you want to hear. They're lying to you, King. They're lying. We live in a day, let me just say it this way, a man of God that won't stand against error, won't identify false doctrine, I don't want nothing to do with him. In my opinion, he's worthless. Here's a true man of God. He's not telling Ahab what he wants to hear. He's telling him the truth. And really, look at verse 18. It says, "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" Here's what he tells Jehoshaphat. I told you he's going to say something I don't want to hear. He's going to speak bad about me. You think Ahab's really interested in the truth? He's not. Look at verse 18, or verse 13. This is the man that went down to get Micaiah. It says, "The messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." The man that goes in, and I can tell you, I believe he was in prison to start with. When he tells him, if you look over, he tells him to send him back. Verse 26, "Take Micaiah and carry him back into Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash the king's son." I think he got him out of prison to start with. And so here's this guard that's bringing him out, and here's what the guard tells him. "Hey, everybody's saying what the king wants to hear. Hey, everybody's speaking good, telling him what he wants to hear. Won't you just do the same? Hey, why don't you just say what he wants to hear? Just this once. Your life is going to be so much better. And so, Micaiah, your life, I mean, we've got you down out of the prison. If you'll just say what the king wants to hear, you'll get on his good side. Man, your life's going to get easier. Everything's going to be good." But you know what? He wouldn't do it. Here's really what's happening. There was pressure placed upon him to compromise and just say what people wanted to hear. That's the day we live in. The man of God is pressured by the people. They don't want the truth. Ahab didn't want to hear the truth. They pressure the people to say what they want to hear. And if you'll do that, you know what? We have big church. Hey, if we get a big church, the offerings get bigger. And you could have a good life, pastor in this church, if you'll just tell the people what they want to hear. That's the day we live in. Let me ask you something. If we had an auditorium with 1,000 people in it, they're all carnal, they're all half-hearted, and not a one of them's really interested in serving and following God, what do we have? Can we go around? We could go around and boast about, hey, there's 1,000 people at church. Can we go around and boast and say we got a good church? We got nothing. You know what? We need some people that are interested in following God. That's really what we're missing today. Nobody's interested in following. They come to church, they want to hear what they want to hear. They want the man of God to put his approval upon their lifestyle that they chose. They want to be patted on the back and go out the door feeling good about themselves. And they go out deceived spiritually about what they are and leading their families down the wrong road. All because, simply because they don't want the truth. They get mad at the preacher for telling them what God said. That's what's happening to Micaiah. Ahab hates him. So here we go. We got one message. There's two messages he's heard. One of them is telling him exactly what he wants to hear. Do whatever you want to do and prosper. That's the gist of it. Do whatever you want to do. Prosper. You're going to be victorious. Everything's going to be great. And here's what the other message is telling him. You do this, you're going to die. If you do this, it's going to cost you your life. One message tells him exactly what he wants to hear, and the other one is completely contrary to what he wants to hear. Do you listen to what you want to do, or do you listen to what the Word of God says? That's the question. And you know what? We're all faced with it. It's not just Ahab. It's a question that we're all faced with. You going to do what you want to do, or are you going to listen to the Word of God? And we've all been there. Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would." Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit takes abode in you, And you know what? There's a continual battle between my flesh and my spirit. Part of me wants to obey the Word of God. The other part of me fights against it and wants to do what my flesh wants to do. Hebrews tells us, let me just give you this illustration. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. I mean, the Word of God tells me, hey, if the church doors are open, I'm to be there. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I know what the Word of God says, but why is it on Sunday morning? My flesh, brother, my flesh wants to stay in the bed. My flesh wants to do something completely different. And so here's what I have to decide. Am I going to obey the Word of God? Or am I going to obey what my flesh wants to do? It's a continual battle. We're looking at Ahab, but the same problem that he's got, it's the same problem we're all faced with every day. You going to listen to God or you going to listen to what you want to do? Now, so Ahab's faced with a choice. Who do I listen to? Now, the majority's saying exactly what I want to hear. 400 people, 400 prophets are telling me exactly what I want to hear. And there's only one man that's telling me that I'm going to die. Let me tell you something, majority's not always right. Man, you can just start reading through the Bible, you know what? The majority of them told Noah, you're a fool to build that ark. Hey, that's crazy. Majority, they didn't want nothing to do with it. What happened to them? They died in the flood. 12 spies go over in the land of Canaan. They come back, 10 of them. The majority, here's what they're saying, we can't do it. We can't do it because of what the majority said. What happened? An entire generation wandered around the wilderness and died, living defeated lives. Here's what I want you to see. The majority was telling him, hey, here's what you need to do. The majority is always trying to pressure us to follow them. That's just how it is. The world system, that philosophy, the majority, they're always pushing on us. And listen, the majority is always going against what the man of God says. The world is always fighting against what the Word of God says. And some of the majority, so to speak, is continually putting pressure on us. Hey, you need to listen to us. Don't listen to the man of God. You need to listen to us. This is what has to be going through his mind, the majority. The man of God's telling him what he don't want to hear. One man's saying what he doesn't want to hear, but the majority's saying, you need to go up and do it. And really, you look at this text, how Micah is treated. Here is a true man of God, and he's hated. I mean, King says, I hate him. He's physically abused. I mean, Zedekiah comes up, smites him on the face. Ahab tells him, hey, put him in prison. Give him bread and water. Going back to prison. Here's a man that is just abused him for what? Why? Why all this hardship brought upon him? Because he won't tell the king what he wants to hear. Because he's going to tell him what God said. And let me just tell you, when you stand for what the Word of God says, let me just tell you, you're not going to be patted on the back. You're not going to be lifted up. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be abused. The world thinks you're a fool for following the Word of God. And they're going to try to belittle you and make fun of you. That's where Micah is at. And so here's Ahab. It's time to make a choice. You going to listen to the majority that's telling you what you want to hear? Or are you going to listen to one true man of God that's telling you don't do it? That's going to cost you your life. And you know what Ahab does? Exactly what most people do. He does exactly what he wants to do. He had already made up his mind before he ever heard the message from God what he was going to do. The message of God was going to have, it was not going to change him. He'd done made up his mind. There's a lot of people today that they make up, they have decisions in life, and before they ever inquire from God, they already know what they're going to do. The man of God gets up and preaches them. They know that they're making the wrong decision, but you know what? Don't matter. They're going to do it. That is the choice that they're going to make. And Ahab does something, and I can't understand this I just don't understand. He tells Jehoshaphat, I mean, Jehoshaphat's right there. He's heard Micaiah say, hey, you're going to die in battle. And here's what he tells Jehoshaphat. Ahaz says, listen, I'm going to disguise myself. Hey, we're going in battle. I'm going to disguise myself. You be sure and wear your robes. Hey, you be sure and let them know you're the king when we go down there. I don't understand for the life of me why he would agree to that. I mean, it makes no sense. I can't explain it. But he does. But here's the question I want to ask you. Why do you think Ahab wanted to disguise himself? Because even though the majority is saying, go and prosper, and even though that's what he wants to hear and what he wants to do, deep down, what's he know? Man of God's right. Deep down, he knows the man of God's right. And so, you know what? I'm going to disguise myself. Ahab thought he could disguise himself, go into battle, and come out unharmed. Let me say to you, you know what he's going to do? He's going to outsmart God. Hey, I know what God wants, but you know what? I'm going to change the circumstances to my favor. I'm going to outsmart him. Hey, I'm going to go to the battle, and I'm going to come back, and everybody's going to see that God's wrong and those false prophets are right. Hey, everybody's going to see that the majority was right, and there's that one man of God. After I claim and I'm going to get killed, going to show me don't know what he's talking about. Think he's setting out to prove the man of God wrong. How many times have we known what God says about something, but we thought we could just do what we wanted to do, and we're foolish enough to think that everything's going to work out? I mean, he's disguised himself. And you know, he's getting by with it for a while. I mean, we read, when they're all coming to fight, the Syrian king said, hey, just fight with the king of Israel. Hey, he's the only one in royal apparel. Hey, they're all going after him. Probably in Ahab's mind, he's thinking, hey, I'm getting by with it. Hey, they're going after him thinking it's me. And he's right there hiding in the back. Nobody knows where he's at. But you know who did know? God did. Notice what it says. Verse 34. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Here's what happened. Here's a man in the Syrian army. Over there's the enemy. He don't see nothing. Here's what he's going to do. He's just going to pull back and he's going to shoot toward the enemy. He wasn't aiming anything particular. But you know what God did? He took that arrow and put it right through Ahab. And he dies. Ahab thought he was getting away with it. But he didn't. Here's what I want you to try to get you to see. There was the counsel he had. And with that counsel, here's what happened. He had to make a choice. He had to make a choice. Am I going to follow the majority that's telling me exactly what I want to hear? Or am I going to believe and trust the man of God that he's telling me the truth? And with that choice, you know what happened? There was a consequence to it. There was a consequence to the choice he made. And let me say, the Word of God will always come true. Nobody is going to outsmart God. Nobody is going to stand and say, the Word of God said this, but I proved that you could do it this way and come out on top. It's not going to happen. It will not happen. Ahab chose to disobey the man of God, and he paid the price for it. Our decisions in life, they ultimately come down to two. Am I going to do what I want to do? Or am I going to listen to the Word of God? Every day, from the simplest decisions to big decisions, whatever it is, that is the choices. With every decision we make, here's what we're deciding. Am I going to obey the Word of God and line my life up with the Word of God? Or am I going to do what I want to do? Those are our choices. We're going to listen to the majority or we're going to listen to the man of God. And here's the soberness. There's consequences. Every choice we make, there's a consequence to it. But here's what you've got to decide. Would you rather pay the consequences for obeying the Word of God? Or would you rather pay the consequences for disobeying? You know what? You obey the Word, there's hardships to it. Hey, it's hard on the flesh, but you know what? I'd rather deal with that any time. Here's all I'm asking you tonight, and I'm through with this. The choices we make, there's consequences to every one. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the majority says, they may be telling us what we want to hear, but here's what we better do every time. We better listen to the man of God. And many times we're going to be just like Ahab. This is strong, but here's what we do. Many times the preacher gets up and preaches. We don't like what he says, and in our flesh we're like Ahab. And I hate him. He's always causing me problems. He's always stirring me up. You know what Micaiah was trying to do? He was giving him the truth to save his life. You know what the man of God does? He gets up, he preaches the Word of God, and it may ruffle your feathers, and you may get angry and upset, but you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to help you. Just remember tonight, this is the message. You're faced with choices. There's consequences to those choices. The best thing you can do is listen to the man of God. Brother Al, if you want to get a song, I ask y'all to stand tonight, Lord, and bow your heads. You may be here tonight, and you may have some decisions coming up. Seek God. Ask God what you need to do. Hey, it may be that you've not listened to the man of God, that you've not listened to the Word of God. Maybe you need to come up here and ask God just to forgive you and to help you to make better choices. Whatever the need may be, if you need to come pray tonight, you come.